Hey, everybody, I'm Tim, one of the pastors here. Good to be with you this morning. And we have a special week for you, a sermon for you today. We're kind of splitting things up a little bit, doing a little different. So we're going to preach a little bit, sing, preach a little bit, sing, preach a little bit. Should be out here in 3.5 hours. Should be awesome. Anyway, in June 1984, I walked across the stage at my high school graduation and got my high school diploma. Felt pretty good to be done that season of my life, but it actually wasn't like I really had a choice. You know, everybody I knew that was my age was also walking across the stage that day to get their high school diplomas, and so it wasn't that big a deal. But then 7 years later, kapow, I walked across the stage at the Bible college I've been attending. I was 12, and I received my bachelor's degree. That felt a lot different to be doing that. That was the result of a big choice I made when I was 18 years old and a whole bunch of small choices that I made after that. And when I got my bachelor's degree, I felt like I had accomplished something. It felt way better than my high school diploma. Actually, my little brother has a master's degree and my older brother has a doctorate. And so I say, guys, we should feel good about ourselves. We net a master's degree. So anyway, it always feels great to set a goal and then after a chunk of time to work and accomplish that goal. And in May of 2021, we here at ACC set a goal to raise the money needed to purchase 73-acre piece of land on the southwest corner of Sylvan Lake. At that time, no one had like a spare $1.5 million to cough up, so we decided to set a goal. And we said we were going to raise that money over 3 years. And many of you made pledges. Many of us made pledges to give a certain amount every month for those 3 years. We prayed about it. We looked at our finances. We decided to cheerfully give what we could towards the purchase of the land. And friends, that's a big deal. And by God's grace, we did it. It's awesome. I got to spend, yeah, that's fantastic. Thank you so much. I got to put in our last one this week. I said, Jen, we did it. We set a goal of 36 months. We put in our last one this week. And today we're walking across the graduation stage. Today we're throwing our caps in the air. Today we've accomplished the goal that we set out all those months ago to faithfully give what God placed on our hearts to give. And I would like to say, well done. I'm super proud of you. In a time when commitments can be soft and conditional, you stepped up and made your commitment firm. And that's no small thing. God loves a cheerful giver, and his love is pouring down on us today. You know, we set a goal of $1.5 million to purchase the land. Of course, it went without saying that we weren't going to be happy with just a piece of dirt. We needed to develop that land to do some extra work so that we could increase its value and get it ready for the next stage. We also needed to service the loan that we took out from the district so that we could buy the time we needed to raise the money. So in all that, that cost an extra $150,000. And we also wanted to be in a proactive space so that going forward, if there's needs that arose, if there's things we need to do, we'd be ready to meet that. And the elders felt that it would be prudent to have $100,000 in the bank. So all that to say, we're attempting to raise $1.75 million. And because of your faithful generosity, today we've raised $1.6 million. And that's so amazing and such a blessing. We're building a legacy of growth for future generations. And it got me thinking of another financial campaign that took place about 3,300 years ago. I'd like to look at that successful campaign today to see what God might want to say to us about it. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus 35. Exodus is like the second book of the Bible. So it goes Genesis and then Exodus. And we're going to be sort of hopping around the book of Exodus. If you open your Bibles or get in your phones, get them all ready in that area, we'll be able to zip around there pretty good. But in Exodus 35, it has, I think, one of the longest sentences in the world, and I'm going to net it out. It's a semicolon sentence, probably 30 of them or something like that. Like he had a bag of semicolons that just was spending them willy-nilly on this sentence, but I'm going to net it out a little bit. But here's what it says, Exodus 35, verse 4. Moses said to the whole Israelite community, "This is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring out to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze. And then he lists a ton of other type of offerings they could bring. Jump down to verse 10. It says, all who are skilled among you are to come and make everything the Lord has commanded. And again, it lists all the things the Lord commanded them to make for the construction of the temple. Verse 20. Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence. And everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of the meeting, for all its service and for the sacred garments. And then in verse 29, all the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord freewill offerings for all the work the Lord, through Moses, had commanded them to do. So the first thing that jumps off the page to me in this passage is that it highlights a past that proves God's faithfulness. Okay, it highlights a past that proves God's faithfulness. See, how do I get that? Well, the first thing Moses said to the Israelite is, from what you have, take an offering to the Lord. From what you have, take an offering to the Lord. Now, this is a very interesting statement because the Israelites had just come out of slavery in Egypt, right? They had been, Israelites as a people, had been in slavery for 400 years. And all these people knew, the only thing they knew was slavery. They didn't have riches or wealth. They didn't have big dowries for their daughters or big inheritances for their sons. They had nothing. It had only been about 8 months, since they left their entire life of slavery and now were out into the wilderness. See, they had crossed the Red Sea when it was parted. If you remember Moses with his staff, and then the waters part, and they walked through on dry ground, and they headed out into that wilderness. Now, I've been in that wilderness. It's not exactly your first choice of locations to make some fast money, okay? And yet Moses, having received the ambitious plans to build a tabernacle from the Lord, asked the people to give out of what they had. Well, what could they possibly have had? What could they have that they could give out of? Well, this is where we see that they have a past that proves God's faithfulness. If you jump back to Exodus 12, this is where, if you've seen the movie Prince of Egypt or anything about Moses, we have the 10 plagues, and they came and the people were, Moses kept saying, let my people go, and Pharaoh would go, no, and then the plague would come, frogs and gnats and boils and darkness and a whole bunch of things, blood in the water, all these terrible things would happen. And finally, Pharaoh says, go. When the firstborn sons of Egypt die, he says, get out of here. So this is what it says in Exodus 12, verse 33. The Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country, for otherwise, they said, we will all die. So the people took their dough before the yeast was added and carried it on their shoulders in kneading troughs wrapped in clothing. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. And the Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, and they gave them what they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians. Okay, this is awesome. They just asked their captors for whatever they wanted, and they were given it. Hello, yes, could I please have that large mound of gold over there? Oh, why, yes, of course, good sir. Take it. You know, it was all very polite and respectful. Probably the most Canadian thing in the Bible, okay? This plundering of the Egyptians. Canadians. The Israelites, the slave nation only recently set free, had resources to share because God had miraculously provided for them. This slave nation plundered the richest nation on the planet. In the same way, God has been faithful to us. He has provided for us. He has given us jobs and the ability to work. And honestly, man, I've been out of work in the past. When I was sick, I was out of work for 5 years. Work is no small deal. It is a great gift. When I got to go back to work again and make an income, oh, man, that felt good. So I'm thankful every day for work. And he's been generous to us. He's been faithful to us as a church. We've been telling the story over the last 3 weeks through video testimonies of those who were there. We heard from Dale and Gloria talking about the first days way back in 1992 when Pastor Lever knocked on some doors, said, hey, are you interested in starting an Alliance church? a few met together and began to pray and to read God's word together and to worship. And they grew in their faith and they grew in their attendance. And soon they had to go into the Legion, and then they had to go to the community center because they just were growing. And then Don and Sean Palm spoke about the movement into a permanent residence at the BHL Lumberyard, which is on this property. So on the south side of the property there where you park your cars, there was a lumberyard there. They talked about the importance of putting down roots and letting the town know that we were here to bless and we were here to stay. And again, they met and they prayed and they worshiped and they studied God's word and they grew. And then Rob and Raylene McQuaid talked about moving into the building that we're in now in 2003, this one here. And God has continued to bless us and help us grow as we've sought him through prayer and worship and Bible reading. And all along the journey, God's faithful hand can be seen working, accomplishing what he wants to do for us and in us. He will always be faithful. He is always worthy to be praised. What a great message. What a great thing to think about the day when Jesus will come back or we will be with him forever. I'm doing a funeral on Tuesday this week of a man who loved the Lord, and he is with Jesus now. And all this hope we have because of what Christ did for us. Apart from Jesus, we have no hope for this. But because of Jesus, we have all the hope. And that's what the second thing that jumps out at me in this passage is, that we have a future that points to God's purpose. These guys here, these Israelites, they had a future that points to God's purpose. Moses told the people to be prepared to give. This wasn't so that he could get rich or so they could just have a big mound of cash to look at. It was because God wanted them to build a tabernacle in the wilderness. Now, this tabernacle needed to be portable. They needed to be able to pack it up and take it with them whenever they went places. And then when they would stop, they would reset it all back up again. Why would God want that? What would be the point of setting up an elaborate tent over and over again? Well, Exodus 29 gives us the answer. In verse 42, it says, "Therefore, I will meet you and speak to you. There also I will meet with the Israelites, and the place will be consecrated from my glory. So I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar, and will consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve me as priests. Then I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God. They will know that I'm the Lord their God, who brought them out of Egypt so that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God." God's desire was to meet with the people and to dwell among them. This is what he really, really wanted to do. He didn't want to be this God that stood far off. He wanted to be a God that came in close. See, these were set apart as his chosen people through whom he would bless the entire world. So he wanted them to be separate. He wanted them to be different from all the nations that were around them. He gave them a set of rules that were different than any of the other rules that the other people on the earth had. And these rules were not going to be easy to follow, but they were exactly what God wanted for his people. And he wasn't going to leave them on their own just to figure it out. He would dwell among them. His intention was always for relationship. And he was always willing to take the first move, to come to them, to draw near to them so that they would draw near to him. He wanted their hearts, and he offered his presence to prove it. Of course, an infinite God couldn't be contained in a tiny tabernacle. But in a special and supernatural way, God's presence filled the tabernacle, and the Israelites got to experience a unique relationship with him. He never left them, despite their rebellious ways, their faithlessness, their grumbling, their complaining. The presence of God stayed with them. He's a faithful God, steadfast, loving, consistent. And this is still the heart of God today toward us. He has a brilliant future planned for each one of us. It's a future built on around relationship. This is what he longs for. He wants our hearts. He wants to meet with us. He wants to meet with you. Wherever you go, wherever you are, he wants to meet with you. When you lie down, when you get up, he wants to meet with you. When you go out, when you come back,
He wants to meet with you. We don't need a tabernacle we can pack around with us anymore. God is not confined to a building. His spirit is like the wind that blows wherever it pleases. Psalm 139 says, "Where can I go from your presence? Where can I flee from your spirit?" God is omnipresent, which means he's everywhere at the same time.
But in a special and supernatural way, he has made it so that we can experience his presence in a unique way. You see, there actually are tabernacles these days, but they aren't built with gold, silver, or bronze. They aren't decorated with fine linen or a well-spun thread. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 to 20 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God?" Each one of you who has received Christ in the Lord, your body is a temple. The Holy Spirit is living within you, with you, wherever you are. And he will encourage us. He will comfort us. He will stay with us. And one day there'll be a final dwelling place where all who have received Jesus will be able to worship. Revelation 21 verse 22 says, "I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple." In some unfathomable way, God himself and the living Lord Jesus Christ become the object of our worship and the place where we worship. We will be in him. He will be in us. We'll be fully immersed in his glory and we'll worship him completely and purely. Imagine the greatest experience you've ever had worshiping God. Maybe it was in a group setting like this. Maybe it was when you were all alone. Maybe you were so moved you could hardly speak. You're filled with awe and wonder and love for Jesus. You felt his presence closer than you ever have before and you never wanted it to end. I've often heard people say that they come and they're part of the worship and they can't stop crying. And it makes no sense to them. Why am I crying? But there they are because God is moving in them. They're so emotional. And I can tell you of times that I have basked in Christ's love and glory and power and forgiveness. My heart has been drawn up to him in some kind of euphoric way, like the distance between heaven and my heart is just so thin. I believe we're experiencing the presence of God. This is what he wants. He wants each one of you to experience his presence. And one day we'll have that experience, all of us, all the time. And just like now, we will never want it to end, and it never will end. It'll be the most joyful, exultant, blissful experience we've ever had, and it will never end. In the meantime, we seek God in the present. We get glimpses of that glorious day. We are led by short-term goals, by temporary futures for our time on this planet. One of those temporary futures is we felt God wanted us to continue to grow as a congregation. Not so that we'd reach some magic number, so we can feel like we've accomplished something or arrived. Rather, we want to continue to grow because that would mean that people who don't know Jesus are coming to know Jesus. They will become living tabernacles where the Spirit of Christ dwells and we'll join together to become a place of blessing for this town. Could you imagine if there were more tabernacles of the Holy Spirit in Sylvan Lake? I mean, this would be awesome. Little more and more glimpses of light. Like when you go to a rock concert and they hold up their lighters, or a Taylor Swift concert or whatever you're going to, and they hold up their lighters and one person does it, and then two people, and then five people, and then 100 people, and then 1,000 people. The whole place lights up. I just imagine that being in Sylvan Lake. Hearts of people lit up by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, may that come soon. We're not here to take care of ourselves. We're here to bless those around us. We're here to serve. We're here to give. And as we live out the calling in our lives, God will fill us with his glory. We will see wondrous signs and miracles. We'll be transformed to be more like him. The fruits of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control will be more and more evident in our lives. Because he who began the good work in us will carry it on to completion. We have a purpose. We have a calling. We have that as a church and we have that as individuals. Your life matters. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. Your life matters. Because God has a future for you. Ryan, if you and the team could come on back up here again. I want us to sing together about that truth. You are not meant to do nothing. You were created to be a part of God's magnificent work here on earth and to one day enjoy fellowship with him forever. You are beloved of the Lord, deeply loved. He has a magnificent plan and a purpose for you. The one who knows you the best, loves you the most, has an amazing plan for your life. Yeah, that song talks about, I think, the final thing that I see in this passage, which is a present that involves each one of us. See, Moses reminded the people where they came from. They had a past that proved God's faithfulness, a past which God had redeemed. They had been rescued. They've been set free, and he painted the picture of a future of promise that God intended for them, a future in which God dwelt among them, a future in which all would know that they were set apart to be God's people and to be a blessing to the world. Having these two things fixed in their mind, their past and their future, he calls them to make a move in the present. To do something in the now, to pour out their hearts. And he invites them to cheerfully give, to be part of the solution, to partner with God by sacrificing what they have in order to build the tabernacle. And they gave. Exodus 36, verse 3 says this, "And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. So all the skilled workers who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing and said to Moses, 'The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done.' Then Moses gave an order and they sent this word throughout the camp. 'No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary.' And so the people were restrained from bringing more because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work." In that campaign to raise the funds and the resources needed for the tabernacle, they succeeded wildly. They brought so much that Moses had to tell them to stop. What a beautiful picture of what our worship should look like. Pouring out our hearts in generous abandon to God. So moved by God's faithfulness to us and so inspired by the future he has planned for us, our hearts would overflow with praise and devotion to him. This is what he deserves. Wouldn't just be for an hour once a week. It would be every hour of every week. All that we do, all of our work and our play and our rest, all of our time with our family, everything holy and worship to God, as in heaven, may it be on earth. You know, as we come to the close of this 3-year campaign called Room to Grow, your faithfulness and generosity has been exemplary. You stuck to your guns and faithfully brought in the pledges that you made those 3 years ago. And now you're getting to see the rewards of your labor. You got to be part of the movement of God here in Sylvan Lake. And no one will be able to take that away from you. For years now, whenever you drive by that property in the southwest corner, whenever you go to a Gulls game or to the Splash Park or to some softball tournament, pickleball, I think there's pickleball that's showing up there. So huge pickleball tournaments, international pickleball tournaments. You'll be able to glance over that land. You say, man, I was a part of that. I was a part of investing in God's work here and a stake in that property for the glory of God. But I know that not all of us are able to experience this. Some of us started to come into ACC after we started the Room to Grow campaign. You didn't get to make a 3-year pledge. You don't actually have any skin in this game. And friends, I want as many of you as possible to have shared ownership in the move of God here in our town. This is why we're having a special offering this weekend. We're calling it Count Me In. One final chance for you to be counted in, to be a partner in what God has done and will continue to do in our future. In my weekly email this last week, I told a story about when I was a little boy working on, there it is, man. I was like 5 years old, and this guy hired me and my brother to come and help build that deck. Yeah, man. I don't remember all that I did. Maybe I pounded in 2 nails. I can't really remember. But he paid us a quarter. And in the 70s, 25 cents is a lot of money in a little boy's hands. And I take my kids on the tour of Revelstoke, Tour de Revelstoke, and the dreaded tour. And they go, no, Dad, not again. Yes, I'm driving and you can't get out. This is where I used to, and this is where. And I go by that deck on Douglas Street and I go, I built that deck. I was part of the crew. That was my first paid construction gig. 25 cents I got for that. And I love that. And that I still have emotion 50 years later, 55 something years later. I still have emotion when I look at that deck because I was a part of that. And I want you to have this experience, to have this feeling when we look at the land, the same thing that I have when I look at that deck on Douglas Street. I want each of you to be able to say, I was a part of investing in that land. So like Moses said to the Israelites, from what you have, take an offering to the Lord. Everyone who is willing, key word there, everyone who is willing is to bring an offering to the Lord. You can give whatever you want to give, $10, $100, $1,000, it doesn't really matter. What matters is that you give because you're willing. You give because you can do it with a joyful heart. And when you give, you'll be part of this room to grow journey that many of us have been a part of for the last 3 years. You'll have skin in the game. You'll have treasure, invested treasure. And wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I just saw this. Someone had posted, gave on Thursday night to their donation. And this is what they wrote. They said, may this money be used to grow help with the purchasing of the new land so that more people can come to know you, Lord. Use this money as you see fit. Amen. I love it. I love that message. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I invite you to give generously today. I want to invite our worship team to come up one last time. These guys are getting their aerobics today, up and down and up and down the stairs. It might have been better just to have you guys sit and have the congregation come up here and sit down. And I don't know. We're going to take a moment now to give. We're going to take some time for you to spend in listening prayer. What is the Lord Jesus asking you to give? And what can you give cheerfully? Only give that. Only give what you can give cheerfully. And to help you with your giving, because we don't actually pass an offering plate anymore, we're all dance forward and wave money. No, that's more African than we can handle here, probably, I'm thinking. Yeah. There's a QR code in the front of your bulletin. So right in the very front, in the top of the bulletin, is a QR code. That'll take you to a giving page on our website. And you can give there. You can give via e-transfer. It looks something like up on the thing here. You can give via e-transfer. You can do that right to giving@alliancecommunitychurch.ca. You can give by credit card through Rebel Give. It's super easy. You just follow the steps. It'll walk you through it. You can give at the welcome desk. We have a debit machine over there. You can give cash or check by putting in the offering boxes we have at the back. There's a special, we're going to do something special at the end of our service here, but there's a table out there that has a little offering bucket, pot almost kind of thing out there. And you can put it in there. Again, let me affirm to you, this is not a giving pressure tactic. If you're coming for the first time here and you're going, oh my goodness, all they want is my money. No, it's not into that. We're not into that. And if you come here for 100 years and you say, man, all they want is my money. Nope, not into that. If you don't want to give or you can't give cheerfully, please don't give. Only give if you can do it cheerfully. May God richly bless your generous hearts. May we all be counted in on this Room to Grow campaign as we take this significant step towards seeing God's will for our town become a reality. For God's glory, for our joy, for for the hope of the world. So I'm just going to ask Ryan if you just play just for 60 or 90 seconds. And just ask you to do that. Listen quietly to the Lord. See what he might say. And then respond. Like, do it. You can do it right now. And you can give toward this, toward the Count Me In, the Room to Grow campaign. I'd love to be able to, for us to be able to pay off the rest of that and be able to move forward to the next, whatever next stage God has for us. So let's go to the Lord now.